right. Hello and welcome to episode 3 of Keep On Cyber Trucking. My name is Eric. We have Chase and William here. And we want to kind of just talk some Cybertruck, but also dive into some other news around EVs, technology, all type of stuff. But first things first, I wanted to talk with William in regards to the big news that happened, about a week ago? Week and a half
ago?
Yeah,
well, it was about 2 weeks ago. I finally got tapped and my opportunity came up to go and lease a Rivian R1S. So now I'm in the unique position where I have both a Cybertruck and the R1S sitting in the driveway right now.
Nice. And you actually went on a road trip with it, right?
Yeah, I just literally this morning just got back. We drove from Fontana, California, up to Las Vegas, kind of the south end of the strip. So, you know, once you hit Vegas, you're in Vegas. And then stayed there for a couple days and then just drove back. So, yeah, it was actually really, really cool because I've really only been road tripping in electric vehicles, which were Teslas, for the last 7 years. So this was kind of my first time throwing caution to the wind, putting the whole family in the car and being like, hey, let's hope that the charging network isn't as lousy as the media wants you to think, that everything's shut down and none of them work except the Tesla superchargers. But we were very fortunate that it went so smoothly. It was great.
Nice. By the way, I'm curious of the charging network. I haven't driven a Rivian yet, but so, I would assume the same.
Rivian definitely directs you to the Rivian Adventure Network chargers, first and foremost, because I did check, and I think that the price per kilowatt hour that you charge up, it's like 3 or 4 cents higher at the Rivian Adventure Network chargers. But you're already talking like, I think, 52 or 53 cents at EVgo or Electrify America versus the 57 cents. So, and obviously Rivian's going to be like, hey, use ours, you know, support the cause or whatever. So, it just took me to the Rivian Adventure Network spot, and it was the, J1772 CCS combo connector. And I approached it kind of being like, hey, let's see if it's as simple as it is with Tesla. Cause you know, Tesla superchargers, even you walk in, you plug it in, you're done. That's it. There's no like heavy math to do or anything like that. But, and with the Rivian, it was pretty much exactly the same, you know, you just plug in the thing. I watched the screen for a few moments. It came up and said there is a screen on the Rivian Adventure Network, which I feel like the superchargers could use some indication of what's going on, because, you know, I've pulled into superchargers where they were not functioning and people had to tell me that it wasn't working or whatever. Mm-hmm. The Rivian ones, I assume the screen will just say out of order if it was not powered, but all the ones that were there were powered up. Just as kind of authorizing, it talks to the car so it knows who you are, and then it just starts charging. So it's, I think that it takes a little bit longer to handshake and to actually start charging than any of my Teslas.
Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That was going to be a question of mine. How long does it take from getting out of the car to actually plugging in and charging? Because Tesla, it's actually pretty quick, unless if you run into a faulty one. It's fairly quick.
And that was my experience. I pulled into the first Rivian Adventure charging stall. That was where I stopped in Barstow. And You know, I literally just opened up the charging gate. I plugged it in. I watched the screen for a few moments, and it was good to go. It said, you know, starting to charge or getting ready to charge. So it seemed like there was a little bit more of a warm up and a startup to it. So, I mean, honestly, I just kind of took it at its word and just walked away. And I saw later it was charged. Its peak charge rate was something like 143, 147 kilowatts. So, I mean, it was definitely booking. So and that was really what I was most hoping for, because of all the horror stories of non-Tesla charging stations. I pulled in, I plugged it in. It was good to go. So super stoked about that.
Nice. And how many times did you have to stop?
I really only stopped the one time. It was, okay. I charged the car to 340 miles. One thing I definitely noticed that Rivian, I know that some places talk about how the Tesla, the estimated miles is not really something you wanna stake your life on or whatever, because, you know, it's very fuzzy, the efficiencies and whatever. So I kind of came to accept that, like, okay, electric vehicles are just, you know, the percentage is better mm-hmm. to go off of than the projected miles. Mm-hmm. But I really think Rivian did a great job with making sure that the vehicle is on target to those miles as it is, because it integrates it in so many places. Like, I have the car set to be percentage based, and it like a bunch of the destination screens, you can't change it. It shows you, you'll arrive there with 144 miles left in the battery or something. So there's no way to get around it. But I think that they're probably leaning on it because it seems to be super accurate. You know, I
good.
Drove a bunch of the way to Barstow, charged up there. It wasn't even necessary. I think I could have made it from my house all the way there, and it told me it would have been like, you would have been at like 2 or 3%, and it probably would have been right. But I believe in the Tesla's usually lying to me whenever I use the mileage. So I'm like, no, I'm definitely going to stop the charge. But I didn't need to. It didn't seem like it. And the charge was maybe 15 minutes. It was another super quick, easy charge.
And you said you get how many miles on a full charge?
Oh yeah, 340 miles.
Okay, so that's...
Yeah, I think that on the when I charged it to 100%, I think that it actually showed 341 miles. But, you know, and I actually need to pull the data for it and kind of look at it to see what the actual real-world efficiency was. And I'd be curious to know if that's just how Rivian does their math under the hood. They're like, yeah, you got the max pack. Any other maker would be like, yo, you can get 400 miles out of this. And they're probably just like, we for sure you'll get 340, but not a whole lot more.
And in doing that road trip, now you have a little bit more experience. And I know you and I have already talked about doing some type of YouTube video of a review on it and mm-hmm. possibly some towing. But what is your stance as far as Cybertruck comfort and then Rivian comfort, now that you've had the Rivian for quite some time?
So kind of, I feel like there is an overall, an interior aesthetic that's been described by people who first time they sit in the Tesla as it being a spaceship. It's like sitting in a cockpit to like a TIE fighter or something very sci-fi futuristic. Mm-hmm. And the Cybertruck is overwhelmingly that. So sitting in the Rivian, I'll be honest with you, it's kind of an interior aesthetic that's kind of like a Jeep, a Wagoneer of some kind, you know, very, very cozy, but rugged, you know, it's spacious, but there's still little quirks about the space that are like that eat up the interior space where you could be moving a little too quickly. You know, but the for me, the main thing is the Rivian R1S. I can get 7 actual human adults my size into it and their legs can fit. Versus the Cybertruck, you know, your peak is 5 people for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that, I feel like even for the Cybertruck, it's worth saying, for those 5 people, I feel like it's so spacious. It's so much more room. I feel this is like a new day for Tesla, because even riding in my wife's Model Y, riding in my X while I'm still trying to sell it, you know, it's just that Cybertruck's that leap difference. And the Rivian's just kind of an interesting reminder of where we came from. But it's, again, super cozy. I drove my dad to the airport about a week or two ago. He said, like, 2 different times during the same trip, he's like, man, this is a nice car. This is really nice. So I'm like, so, you know, Rivian definitely, you know, upsell into the boomers out there. But, you know, he likes it. I like it a lot. They're just so incomparably different as vehicles. But, you know, the Rivian, I could get more luggage space into in the Cybertruck. He's just got all that vault space. So,
yeah, true. Yeah.
So here's a question for you, because I know I saw this week someone was particularly talking about how the Cybertruck is surprisingly a really great family vehicle, not just a utility vehicle. So how would you rank the R1S, Cybertruck X and Y on a scale from 1 to soccer mom?
Scale of 1 to soccer mom. Okay.
I like that. Well, I like that, Chase.
I'll put Cybertruck at number 1.
Really? Okay.
Because if you're going to say family friendly, okay, well, you also have to be like, okay, how big is this family we're talking about? Because, I mean, like, I drive around with my folks in the car sometimes. I need a 7-seater. But if you're just like, you know, 4-5 member family or something smaller, who knows? I feel like it's kind of that, you know, that APC, the armored personnel carrier, but for your family. And that, and the vault, if you stop thinking, I keep telling people, like, calling it the Cybertruck does it a disservice, because as far as your imagination is concerned, if you just think about it like a car with the features that it has, don't clump it into a truck. Don't put, you know, truck nuts on it or something like that. You know, keep it like just get in the car and see what you can do with it. I think it's a great family wagon. So I'd be like Cybertruck number one. I just, you know, from the power options to everything to the pure cargo space of that vault. I mean,
yeah,
come on.
Yeah.
And plus it's like, you know, it's enormous. Your family is probably like, until we see some like crash testing videos, I feel enormously safe in this 7,000 pound beast.
Same.
I have no experience with any accidents, so I couldn't speak.
Yeah.
On
nothing major at least.
I'll say, okay. So then I'll say, second rank would probably be as far, if we're heading towards the mom, the soccer mom realm, I'll change it up at the end. I'll put the Rivian R1S rank 2 because I think that it's still a little bit more rugged than you know, it is actually utility in the sport utility vehicle as opposed to a lot of other vehicles that are not. Calling the Model X a sport utility vehicle kind of strains the imagination. But the Rivians are built with, you know, people who are genuine, adventure-minded, off-roading, camping, whatever. That's on their mind, and it's not, I mean, it's not really, I think that there's nothing really feminine in the interior of the car, not that that's a selling point for the soccer moms, but I just think that it's a little bit still, even a bit dated in design. It really is, but it's nice. And then I'll say soccer mom, I'll say rank 3 towards soccer mom is the Model Y. That's where I'm changing it up because I think I see lots of people driving the Model X now that I'm kind of like, definitely soccer mom. Definitely like, okay, this is the cool car now for them to get into. And I still think that this is the Model Y. It's like it's the best-selling electric vehicle in the world, I'm pretty sure.
Best-selling car in general.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, talk about third time's the charm. I mean, you know, geez. Tesla knocked it out of the park and it's selling everywhere. But I think that it's not that designated soccer mom space, I guess. Rant over.
Well, hey, you asked your question.
I was curious. That's kind of what I figured, but yeah, that kind of lines up with what I thought. I would assume like the third row also in the Rivian folds down as well, so you have the extra cargo space. But you're
it
right.
Folds
the
flat.
The utility
and
space in the Cybertruck is way better. Like you could put three or four strollers in there, especially double strollers for sure. That's, mm-hmm. That eats up so much room. And we drove a Model 3, believe it or not, with our son, and it was. It was a hassle. Like a lot of times, anytime you had the stroller in the trunk, as well as getting him in and out with a rear facing car seat, there's not a lot of room for wiggling there.
It's tight. It is tight.
And that's what I'm talking about. Like when you say Model X, it's a big car, but is it that big? It's curvy, so it's not functional necessarily in some ways, but it's useful in others. Model Y, all of them are just very cozy. They're very cockpit like, and the Cybertruck just. Seems like the kind of car that you've got enough space to put a full-size jacket on and boots, and you're not, like, leaning around something and trying to get the steering wheel out of the way to do something. Like, mm-hmm. It's just immense. And for Tesla to finally make a car with that much space in the inside, I'm just like, finally! Yes, please!
Totally.
Yeah, it is incredible how much space. I think that's probably top five thing that I like about the Cybertruck is just how much space you get on the interior. Not even like take the vault out of the you know, vault and trunk, take those out. Just talking about in the cabin when you're sitting there, how much space you have, leg room. You know, I'm 6'2", so I like to sit a little bit further back, but yet my kids in the back have plenty of space. I mean, we've gone camping with the towing trailers. I got two dogs in the back. I have two kids in the back. We have bags, and it's crazy how much space there is.
Yeah, it's fantastic. You know, I think that, and I think that they made the other cars to be to have a longevity to them that wasn't controversial. You know, there's you can still get inside of a Model S and be like, this is nice, this is really nice. But I think that people started butting into the problems of, okay, this is cool, but like I carry a bunch of luggage with me, or I'd rather not have to go into the trunk for certain things all the time, or whatever. And I think that the Cybertruck, once everybody kind of drops that idea of it's a truck, it's a Chevy, it's a Ford, it's a Tesla Cybertruck, get that out of your head and just approach it the way that it is. You know, it's kind of this weird mix between this DeLorean meets the APC from Aliens. You know, it's just It's crazy, but like get in it and drive it because it'll sell you on it. I think that you know, that's the cool thing.
I love the space right as you get in the middle, down on the floor. That little like kind of cubby space is perfect
for
a backpack or like a diaper bag, you name it. Having access to something like that is great.
And it's kind of funny too because the Rivian, the R1S, and I believe the R1T has that same little spot in the front. I'm like, yes, all manufacturers need to start doing this. Stop giving me a console that takes up all this space and forces me to just have a glorified cup holder. Like, let me put a backpack. Let me put, you know, something down there.
100%.
No drive shaft. You have all that space.
That's what it is, right? That's what's creating all that space for us. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, moving on to the next thing, I wanted to, I guess I could give an update on my truck. So I dropped it off today at Tesla service. So I've been actually extremely surprised and impressed on how quickly they were able to receive the parts. It took, I had to wait longer for the appointment than I did for the parts. So I got into the accident on a Saturday. By that Wednesday, I called them because I you know, when I got in the accident, immediately, like as soon as I got home, I sent a picture to service in the app. Sent a picture of the accident. These are the parts I need. Get working on it. Responded quickly and said, we're on it. Sorry that happened. We'll get those parts for you. Didn't hear anything. And then that very next Wednesday, I called my service center, and lo and behold, they go, we have all your parts. A little part of me is going, why didn't you call me? You know, but then there was an issue where they ordered the front driver wheel flare, not the passenger wheel flare. So that was kind of, I went on a high of, we have all your parts, to the punch in the gut. We ordered the wrong part. But same thing, 3 days later, they had the right part. So today I took it in for service. They're working on it as we speak. Hopefully they say they're going to have it done tomorrow, along with a bunch of other issues that I already had a service, request on. And so, pretty happy about that. And then on Friday, I'm getting it rewrapped. So hopefully this weekend, if not early part of next week, I'll have my truck back to its beautiful self. So, yeah, I'll dive into all the insurance stuff and the headache and me hanging up on people in a video.
I would like to jump on one thing for this. So I think that the thought came to me where it's like, you know, perpetually when it comes to Tesla and the buyer experience, there's always, you know, the idea of the weakest link. And I've forever thought that Tesla has a bit of an exposed weakest link when it comes to their service. So I was one of the people who posted on the Cybertruck forum back in the day, you know, it posted that, you know, we were spotting the corrosion spots, and then it was like, oh, is it rust? No, it's just iron. You know, it's just rail dust that's collecting and contaminating, and they don't know to clean it off. So I've had a service appointment opened with Tesla since right about when I discovered it. So it was like right after delivery, probably within a week. And I've been waiting for them to actually try to service the vehicle to address the corrosion thing. And the funny part is they had an appointment for me for the 18th. I was supposed to drop it off and then go on this road trip. So I did. I dropped it off the vehicle. But when I got there, the manager comes out to me and says, hey, so I still don't have the equipment to correct what needs to happen. And I'm like, okay, but like what's really needed at this point? And it sounds like they ordered like a body panel or something, and I'm like, I'm not sure I needed a body panel, but let's see where this goes. And so they ordered a body panel. They still don't have the equipment to do it. So I once again went to an appointment that then they were like, oh, by the way, we don't have the stuff. We'll fix this one little panel issue, but then we'll take your vehicle home for you because you're leaving on this trip. And meanwhile, he's like, I don't know when the equipment's going to come in to do this fix. And I'm like, I don't even know what you guys are trying to fix at this point. Like, I know for a fact it's just rail dust. I can do Barkeeper's Friend and remove it. But there's still some disconnect with my service center where I'm like, do you guys have everything on hand that you need to repair the vehicles? Does everybody know what they need to do? So I'm wondering if there is kind of a bit of a, hey, we released these cars and didn't even give the service centers enough time to digest the information, that the fact that they misordered your wheel flare and the fact that I still can't get an accurate date on when they're going to do some servicing for it, there is kind of this like flailing, like, what is going on behind the scenes, right?
Yeah. So the part in question for you, is it the rocker panels or is it an actual panel?
They made it sound like it was like an actual panel. Like I need to look back at the Tesla message. I can look it up in a second.
But where's the corrosion for you?
For me, it was on all the parts that I brought attention to were basically any part of the stainless steel that was upright, or sorry, kind of parallel to horizon or close to it, because it's anywhere that the rain was accumulating back in February when it was raining a lot, was kind of bringing out that rail dust corrosion, where it's really just contamination just kind of just stuck to the metal. And we know that because everybody's been able to remove it with Barkeeper's Friend or some sort of iron, removing agent or something. I'm sorry, rust removing agent. So, but still, I'm like watching them be like, okay, we ordered this part and we've also need this equipment. And I'm like, what equipment do you need? Like, what? I can go to Target and get you some Barkeeper's Friend, guys. We can do this, you know? So it just seems like a little, again, one of those, like, here we are towards the end of March. And people, I think, are just now after MKBHD, which, I know we were going to talk about MKBHD. I feel like it's the first time that I've seen one of these reviewers, a really big name reviewer, be like, oh, yeah, by the way, this thing doesn't have autopilot yet.
Yeah.
Didn't know if y'all knew that. It's like, I imagine everybody would be like, what? You know, and it's not that it doesn't have autopilot, but it's the whole like nobody's talked about it. Nobody's brought it up. So. All these questions.
Yeah. I was actually at an EV event over the weekend, and there was a guy there with a Model 3, and he was surprised when I told him that FSD wasn't working yet.
Yeah.
So you're 100% right. People just – the information isn't out.
It isn't, and that's such an odd thing. It's like the fact that Tesla themselves, I feel like they have yet to – I don't know, actively engage any of this. Like, do you guys know you're selling like a brand new car? Like, you'd think that there'd be a little bit more, but Tesla doesn't have a PR department. So they don't necessarily, you know, their timing is off and they weren't planning on doing it this earlier. Who knows? Like, it's just weird.
You know what you need to do now, once you do get all of the rust, all the particulates off of there and clean, you have to wrap it, because 3M does have like a rust looking wrap. It's just completely leaning into it.
Give it the most patina covered. Like, exactly. That's new. Is that an orange Cybertruck? What's going on with this thing?
It's been so bad. One more thing. I think one of the funniest things I saw this week actually come up on Twitter, and maybe this is like we'll touch on it a little bit, but the videos from a lot of the Baja trips came out, and we were seeing on Twitter those trucks that came back from the trip, and they're actually finally like tearing it apart and cleaning out everything. And there was a bunch of just like, you know, red dirt dust everywhere. And then people were like, is that rust? And people were like, you gotta be insane. Even Community Notes like had a say on it. They're like, no,
the Community
it's not
Notes
rust.
It's
like
the
dirt.
Owner verified it's just dirt. They were off roading in Moab or whatever it was. Yeah,
exactly. I love it.
Well, speaking of wraps, I don't know if you guys seen this. I just came across this today, but I thought that it was pretty interesting. Let me go ahead and share my screen real quick. Let's go right here. Have you seen these magnetic wraps?
I have seen these.
I knew that somebody was going to do this.
That's wild.
I was asking
for you to do this.
And it's like, give it a hot minute. These are going to be on Amazon. I give it like 3 months. These will 100%. Be on Amazon, where people will be like, yo, do you have a Cybertruck? Do you want to just wrap it and then just change the wrap every day? Buy this. Literally, it could be in a box of just layered magnetic vinyl. And then you just put it on, you know, put this part on this part, put this part on this. Mm-hmm. And then you've wrapped your own truck for the day. And then you take it off that night if you want.
No,
100%. That's a great point too. That obviously we haven't. I don't know if we've said it before, but it is magnetic. Like it's even with the wrap on the outside of ours, it's still magnetic. So we
really
got like big wide magnetic, you know, signs that we printed out that we can just slap on the outside if we park it somewhere. And that's kind of the same thing that other companies have started to do. If we are going to work with them, they'll they can print out their own like logo or whatever they want branding wise and slap on the outside.
Yeah.
It's easy. Put it on, take it off.
No, that's yeah, I saw that and I thought that's definitely going to be something like William said, something that Amazon and I mean, it's not that hard to make, right? So you're going to see all kinds of crazy things readily available and yeah, customizable. You could probably print, you know, logos and, you know, whatever on these things. And so it's going to really, I think it's a good thing. Make sure you wash your car before you put it on there. Otherwise, you're going to scratch up if you have a normal paint job.
That's where I think
job.
People get in trouble. Yeah, they'll leave it on there for too long, and then something contaminant-wise will have been underneath it for too long. And, you know, I don't know the characteristics. Maybe the magnets shift a little bit, and then you get a scratch really good in there. Exactly.
But moving on, let's talk about the MKBHD. We can move on to that since you brought it up, William. Right here.
It definitely got a lot of views, and it went up the chain pretty fast, as we know that Elon commented on it within the day.
I think it's worth it. It's an interesting thing that MKBHD, if you want to know the kind of sway he has, this is now two separate EV makers that it has gone up the chain to executives with somebody then reaches back out. Here's Elon, and then there was somebody at Fisker that reached out that also was like, you know, oh, well, you know, sorry, we're supposed, it shouldn't be like that, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, these are the cars we get to review. You're selling them like this. So, and this is the same thing that they say to Fisker and to Tesla. It's crazy.
Well, the craziest part to me is the fact that you're sending a vehicle to him, right? You would think they would go over that that vehicle.
They don't send it. So part of my experience has been with renting. I've got two different periodicals, magazines, online, whatever, that have rented my vehicle for doing their own testing. And one of the things that both groups said was that Tesla does not provide these vehicles. This is the only way we can get these vehicles. If we want to review a Tesla, we have to find an owner who got it early enough that we can do a review on. And I think both for Fisker, because it was through a dealership, and now this vehicle, which I think is was a loaner rental or something like that, because this didn't come from Tesla. I think that's kind of and that's the real salient point to this, because he's like, oh, it's not a door fit issue, and this takes 5 minutes to fix. And it's like, okay, so then why didn't you guys fix it before you delivered it to somebody?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why is it coming down to these owners calling you guys out? And for this Cybertruck owner, I got to wonder how many other vehicles have panel gaps that big, but they're not getting amplified by guys like Marquise.
Yeah, I have very slight panel gaps, and it's in that area. It's just not that bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very slight compared to that. And if I point it out to somebody, you'll see it, but otherwise you really don't see it. Maybe because of the wrap that may help camouflage it, but I sympathize for that gap, but at the same time, mine is nowhere near that bad.
Yeah,
and it's on both sides, on all four doors.
I feel like I can't talk. If you saw on my X account at Cybertruck ATX, I had officially Sandy Monroe's pinky. That he tested all the gaps on my truck, so it is Sandy Monroe officially signed off on the panel gaps, at least on our truck.
The official yardstick of the EV community.
Yeah, he was like, my pinky is pretty accurate, so I can test those gaps, and that's exactly what he did. So,
well, speaking of that, in episode 2, you teased that someone special was going to be sitting in your Cybertruck. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, totally. So last week we had the pleasure to host Farzad, who's got a big Tesla channel and YouTube, and he apparently is a neighbor of ours, and reached out and was like, hey, I am picking up Sandy Monroe from the airport on Thursday. Could we borrow your truck to pick him up in? And I'm like, yes, let's do that. So he actually still rented our truck off of Turo, just so we have coverage and insurance. So we did everything right. He went and picked up Sandy Monroe in our truck and did a video of his experience, because he hadn't driven a Cybertruck yet at this point. So he got his first experience, as well as seeing Sandy get picked up with it, and then they did a video talking about his experience and what they're looking forward to tearing apart their Cybertruck. Because if you don't know, Sandy Monroe owns Monroe and Associates, and he's very famous for tearing apart vehicles and different machines to kind of learn and spec out the build. And they actually intend to do a full spec out of the Cybertruck, and as well as a cost for the entire truck. So costing the entire array of materials, essentially. But yeah, it was our pleasure. It was great to see. Yeah, and hopefully we'll see more content with Farzad since he's just around the corner.
And you had the opportunity to ride along with them.
I didn't. Oh, just Farzad, but not Sandy.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay, yeah. I thought you were going to have the opportunity with the...
I had work that day, I didn't get the chance to meet him. But I would have loved to. Either way, he was super nice from what I saw, and he sends kind regards. And then, yeah, like I said, he measured our gaps with his pinky, so it's pretty accurate.
Yeah, and those pinkies are calibrated, I'm sure.
It is. I'm sure if you take a calibrator to his pinky, it'd get pretty accurate.
Classic. Isn't this that classic joke about like the lengths that Americans will go to avoid using the metric system? Like, that's about 8 or 10 Monroe pinkies.
It's about a pinky and a half.
It's a pinky and a half.
That's funny.
I love it. But yeah, super exciting.
Well, that's a cool experience, and you know, happy that he was able to sit in your... It's like when you meet a celebrity and, you know, like you see these teenage girls and they get kissed by Justin Timberlake or something. Like, I'm never washing my face. I hope you never wash that seat. No, you just leave it.
The leather still has this patina.
Yeah, exactly. You're going in there every night just smelling it.
Alrighty.
Sandy's cheeks.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it.
Okay, next thing. A big news that happened in the... last 24 hours, 48 hours, something like that, is there's a new update.
Yep.
And we wanted to kind of go through that and show kind of what they pushed to our Cybertrucks, or pushed to your guys' Cybertrucks, because I don't have it yet. But.
So yeah, mine's actually on a rental right now. So I let our client know that it was like, hey, there's an update. If you want to update it and play with it, you're more than welcome to. So I'm sure he did. But yeah, some really exciting things, two of which my exciting ones are the auto wipers. Is I don't know why they didn't ship it with it, but now we have it. That's fine. They were probably my biggest gripe is how the wipers were working before now. So I'm excited to get my hands on that, as well as the rear passenger headphones.
Yep.
Like that was a big thing I noticed right off the bat of like, okay, well, you could either have audio from, you know, your Bluetooth or, you know, from the radio, or you could have the backseat audio. You can't do both. But this allows you to connect a Bluetooth headset to the back screen, and then kids can watch YouTube while you're still listening to the tunes up front.
Because we all know if you have kids in the back and they want to listen to what they're watching, and there's only so many times I could hear Baby Shark before I want to just...
Yeah.
Jump out of the car while it's driving on the freeway,
or Blippi, yep, or whatever it is. Yeah,
Coco Melon.
Yeah. But it's funny how they push this out and they say auto wipers plural. So I thought that was pretty funny.
Maybe,
but
it's a
typo. So they have the auto wiper. This vehicle alarm includes trailer. What is this exactly? Your vehicle alarm now also monitors whether your trailer is plugged into the hitch. Okay, so that is actually really helpful, because when I did my first tow video, I had my brother plug the trailer into the Cybertruck. And prior to taking off, I had him testing the brake lights, and they weren't working. And I asked him, did you plug it in? Yes, I did. Lo and behold, I go back there and he didn't plug it. He didn't push it in all the way. So this is what it sounds like, right? They're kind of telling you.
That's good.
You can disable this feature.
The one just before that is interesting. I don't know if this is a feature that's common for like the X or the Y, but this is new that I've seen. So one-time charging limit option. So in the case of, let's just use Will, your example from California out to Vegas, you could choose to not have like multiple charges along the way, but like one large charge.
I think that it's more like let's say that you're doing a long drive on Tuesday, and then once you reach the destination, you're going to be in that town for 4 days. So, but you forget to reset your charging limit. So, like, what this lets you do is like, oh, I'm leaving tomorrow. I want the car to charge to 100%, but then go back to 80% after it does this one charge.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that's actually.
It sounds handy. Why this one came through versus the myriad of software bugs probably in the bug pile. This is the thing that got addressed. I feel like this was like an accident. Somebody fixed it and they were like, oh, yeah, sure, just commit the code. Fine, we're whatever. You know,
yeah.
It's like the new intern fixed it. Damn it. All right, whatever. Just push it. Who cares?
This is somebody's bonus.
Hey, good for them. Good for them.
Hopefully.
But there's a, yeah, right. it's just odd.
And then we talked about the headphones. So, I mean, that's pretty self-explanatory. Resetting your tire mileage.
That's cool.
That's great, yeah. Especially when we get, hopefully have the option to get the street tires. I think that'd be great, too, because if you want to interchange and only use the L-trains for off-road and vice versa, yeah, that would be really important.
There's the auto wiper.
Auto wipers. Cybertruck got their auto wipers fixed before the 3NY.
I just want to know where the other wiper is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's for the back window.
Mm-hmm.
Or the front camera washer, which I heard that a lot of people have been really asking for that feature to be added to more Teslas moving forward.
Like having they really
a washer
should
for the cameras.
I remember when the Model 3, I think, was being, or maybe before then. I think it was around the 3. Somebody made a big deal about. They made their own like DIY hacked version of an air a pneumatic something or other, which is blow air on the rear camera. So that they were, because they were like, yeah, it's embarrassing that if I'm driving along and I'm using that rear camera, but it's raining, you know, the wheels kick up so much stuff, and then nothing cleans that lens. So he just literally built something that just psh, psh, just blasts it with air whenever he hits a button. And I was like, all right,
nice.
Now we have that.
And it really should. They should have that spray on both the front and rear. And I know there's a company out there that's doing that, but that should be just standard, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, that's a whole other topic, right? Things that should be standard that aren't. But
well, I think it's interesting that we saw right after the Cybertruck release the Model 3 update, and that I think is setting a precedence that they're willing to kind of go back and retroactively add some of the newer features like the screen in the back or you know the interior light accents to vehicles moving forward. Which is another topic. I don't know if we didn't mention it, but I'm kind of very curious to see what the non-Foundation Series Cybertruck is going to look like. I was looking through the Foundation Series bullet points today, and they also mentioned the premium accessories are included. So we get like what the
bottle opener.
Bottle opener. We get the hooks in the bed. We have the weather liners. But something that's interesting is the bumper cover is actually listed as an accessory. I wonder if that's something that could possibly not ship with the regular Foundation Series, as well as the tires. I feel like
they sell the bumper cover in the accessory shop right now.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm wondering if the non-Foundation Series will probably likely have the street tires, so they won't have the all-terrains and not even have a bumper cover. Maybe I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what it eventually looks like.
Well, even the white interior, right? So I'm assuming that's just going to be all black.
I think so.
I joke that maybe that's going to look better. We'll see.
Like, it could.
You never know. Yeah.
I mean, I like the white. It doesn't bother me, but I would have probably preferred something other than white and non-black. I don't know. Maybe go with like some type of carbon fiber look or, I don't know, something. But the white doesn't bother me. I mean, but yeah, I've had that question from people a lot where they ask me, oh, this is the Foundation Series. And I go, yes. And they go, well, what do you get when you don't get Foundation Series? And I go,
we don't know.
Whenever they stop selling it, we'll know.
I still think that with the advent of V12 full self-driving, I think that it's not unreasonable that by mid-year, once if V12 gets out there and really kind of turns some heads and helps them put more confidence behind full self-driving, I think that they're going to solidify a price increase on the full self-driving, or there'll be some changes along the way, I think there.
Yeah.
But I it's funny. I think, and also I don't think that I'd fully realize that this site, because in NKBHD's video, he mentioned that the Cyberbeast, the headliner above the steering wheel and the whole console, it's Alcantara on the Cyberbeast.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the all-wheel drive, it's that plastic kind of ventilated look stuff. And I'm like, I would really hate it when the non-foundation series come out of those. I'm curious to see if that would change. You know, like, is that a foundation series only, or is that something that then gets unified into the Cyberbeast? It's like I feel like I've owned enough Teslas to the point where it's like some people are going to have some rose-colored glasses ripped off their heads really quickly when they start doing the non-foundation series.
Totally.
Well, that, yeah, 100%. It's always that thing where, I mean, I remember when I was one of the, I don't want to say first, but in the first few months taking delivery of my Model 3, and it was quickly, soon after, 6 months later, 9 months later, it was like, there was already like all these new upgrades and things that were put into the Model 3 that I didn't have, and it was cheaper.
Yeah.
And I'm going, man, you know, but that's kind of the cost of being an early adopter, right? Is you're getting, I keep saying it, you're getting unfinished product, I think.
Yeah. I think a lot of it's refined. It's that, you know, early access beta that Steam and Epic Games like doing, where they release the car and then they're like, oh, here are the things that we were planning. Here's the things on our roadmap that we were going to fix. We fixed like 80% of them or 30% of them or whatever it is, but here's a new patch. And then, you know, then they pivot somewhere along the lines, be like, oh, actually, we're going to get rid of the multiplayer, but we're going to really focus on a bunch of these other things. So it seems like Tesla does that a fair amount. You know, they pitch something and then they even kind of go through the motions of trying to sell it. And then they find a reason to you know, either keep it or replace something else with it or get rid of it. Like, I think of the quote unquote $35,000 Model 3 that everybody, you know, bemoans. It's like, it sounded like Tesla tried selling a bunch, built a few, and then they were just like, the interest isn't there for us to keep doing it. But there's a lot of miles to cover between now and January or whenever they start selling non-foundation series. I think that it could be very sad, or it could be perfectly fine. Who knows?
A lot more celebrities to deliver to. We also saw Steve Aoki got his this week.
Did he really?
Yeah, he was tweeted out by Elon as well. So
that's what happens when you're a celebrity, right?
But I wonder if they're getting preferential treatment, or if they just had reservations like we did since day one, which is still plausible.
It is.
You know.
I doubt that's the case, though.
There was one news story that was like a person, somebody was like, you know, suffering from cancer treatments and had a Cybertruck reservation, you know, the article was something like Tesla pulled some strings and got him his Cybertruck before he was supposed to. And I'm like, okay, so if this is to be, I mean, that's great goodwill, but it's like, if that's to be believed, it's like, so it isn't a straight out of the shoe deal to everybody. It isn't just, oh, your truck came up, we'll sell it to you now. I'm like, it seems like there's other limiting factors. What is somebody posted that they made 100,000 or sorry, they made 1,000 Cybertrucks worth of batteries,
mm-hmm.
like last week.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, but if we're doing 1,000 a week, why haven't we seen that many vehicles on the road? Why aren't we hearing about VINs reported in the 9 or 10 thousands?
Right.
Yeah, I think the highest VIN that I've seen was like 3,700, something around that range. So, I mean, that's, and then that also irks me, right? Because I keep going back to, when is Foundation Series going to stop? And I know we talked about it last episode, so we don't need to get all into it again. But, you know, if we're already approaching 4,000 and it's not being said of, hey, it's going to be ending, then, I mean, when is it ending? I think it's going to get into, I 50? Think so.
Do we know? We don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. But,
what happens if the Foundation Series ends? They announce what they're actually shipping the all-wheel drive as, And it just seems like none of them get moving. Is that, are they holding off because they don't want to face that, or are they trying to get some momentum from somewhere else? It's just so many questions. I don't know.
Yeah,
I feel like though when they do stop, it's essentially going to be about the same price. If you would, I would assume that they would price out all the extras with full self-driving, all the add-ons. It's going to basically be another $20K anyways on top of what you're spending. So it yes. would be about the same.
Well, I think that's what William's point has been, right? This whole time about the V12. It's like once that hits, if you go in right now and configure a Model 3, how much is FSD? 12,000, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It once that V12 hits, whether it's Cybertruck or not, that's going to go up. I don't see it staying at 12,000. It's going to go to 15 or whatever. Yeah. And so if now you're a new buyer for the Cybertruck and you didn't have a reservation previously and you go, I want to pre-order or I want to order my Cybertruck, and it's already 15,000 just for the full self-driving, and we get that part of the Foundation series plus our bottle opener, then, you know, you're why wait? Why did you wait? Unless if you're the type of person that goes, I don't want that. And I'll be honest with you, if they didn't force me to get it, I probably wouldn't have ordered it at when I configured. But that's just me.
Yeah. I think that there's so many questions surrounding it. I mean, initially when I got that invite, I was considering the rental side of it first and whatever opportunity for rarity there is. And it just seemed like there was enough space between, I don't know how many of these are going to be available throughout the year, between that point and the point of when they do start selling the non-Foundation series, am I going to want that? Because as configured, like, the Cybertruck is pretty awesome for everything that's in there, but you have to believe in the full self-driving. It has to have that value to you. Otherwise, yeah, it's hard to make up. But the question is, if it's a non-Foundation series and then people are asked, do they also believe the FSD price? You know, where does it wash out to? Does it come right back up to 100,000? Is it 95? So you waited a whole year to get the truck, you know, and it's the same one that you could have had a year ago or whatever. Yeah.
And don't get me wrong. Once FSD hits, I'm going to be using it.
I'll be using it all the time.
Yeah, I'd be using it all the time. It's just, if I was going to configure, I'd probably opt more for the monthly plan and use it as I needed, as opposed to just having it all the time. But the selling point, and I've talked about this before, for me with the the Foundation series was more about, you know, the power share, and that just, it, you know, I just go, I'm getting power walls. So
yeah,
I mean,
you've literally got like five. Oh wait, you've got like the equivalent of what, six? Or I don't know, like nine power walls that you can drive.
Yeah, you know, and so that alone right there, I just said, it doesn't matter. I don't care. I'm getting power walls and I'm getting a truck that I've been wanting for 4+ years. Done. I'm getting it. But then everything you're talking about with the FSD and all that, then it's even more, you know, it's even better value in my opinion. So, moving on to, let's get to our, wrap of the week. How about we do that? I want to show this crazy, and I think everybody has seen it. But,
which,
yeah,
is the same truck? Question mark. It looks like it is the same, like head, like the light rack. So I would assume this is the same as the Arctic truck.
Yeah, this is just Mad Max, right?
Yeah.
I'm trying to get the video to play. Oh, that's the same one. Oh, right here. Here we go. That right there.
There's a little SpaceX in the back of the panel.
I love that.
It looks like it literally looks like it's been shot off a rocket or something.
Right?
That is just wild.
I just see this. I want to play Halo.
Yes.
Look at this thing. You see the Warthog in real life. Warthog. It's just driving through it.
There's something so satisfying about those wheels and the suspension, the way it's just bouncing around.
Yeah.
I love that.
I mean, just seeing a car that, you know, I could drive, I'd probably crash. But if I were to try and drive like this, I feel like my car, putting an off-road mode, it's like, wow, I could probably do that.
Yeah, like that, it makes it easy.
Yeah, Yeah, it kind of puts it at your fingertips. Maybe a little too much so.
Right. I'm excited to get ours back because my next adventure is going to take it off-road a little bit more than I have already. But even the little bit that I tested, it was surprisingly smooth. I was like, this doesn't feel like we're driving off-road at all. Like, it just feels like you're just on road and it absorbs everything.
Yeah. What was I going to say? Speaking of off-roading, I met once again at that EV meetup that I went to. I met a gentleman that says that he'll take me. Again, I'm not an off-roader. I don't do that. I would love to. It's not something I do often, so I don't want to screw something up. But he's willing to take me out there in your neck of the woods, William. That we'll go out there and kind of take it off-road a little bit. Something, beginner level type of situation. But I'm looking forward to that because I think that's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, there's loads of places around here. I know you can either get into trouble or there's loads of spots to just go and do an off-road run, you know.
Yeah, I don't want to get in trouble. That's for sure.
Well, one of my friends had a Mitsubishi years ago, and he thought for some reason he could off-road, and he was wrong. we had to go get him and then go get his truck the next day. So
yeah, that's the thing, right? But see, this guy, he says that he has a bunch of, like, it's a whole group of people that this is what they do.
Oh, for sure.
And so he was like, we'll take you, so I think that's going to be good content for my channel, right? I'm going to film the whole thing and all these guys. And then what I want to do is get those guys in the Cybertruck and get their reactions to it. And then also pick their brain about how it does off-roading compared to their vehicles, because I'm sure they got some crazy things. So the guy I was talking to actually has a Ford Bronco that he off-road. So, I mean, I love those Broncos.
Since we talked about the outside is magnetic. Magnetic GoPro mounts work perfectly. I've got one that I slap on the outside for rolling shots as well.
Oh, that's awesome to know. Thank you. Because I know I've some of the rentals, they've shot GoPro content, but they use the suction cups. And so the stainless steel has that look. It's like still kind of a bit of a stain or something like that. I think it's the rubber just gets embedded. But good, knowing the magnets is good.
Magnet's not too bad. It doesn't leave as much of a mark.
Nice. Yeah. I'm actually very surprised that it still holds with your PPF.
It does, and I've taken it up on the highway at 75 to the speed limit, so it's been pretty good.
What's your speed limit?
It's Texas.
I mean, 85.
No, I know.
Well, technically it's 85 because in Texas we do have the beta version of the insurance, like Tesla's insurance. They calculate all the data, and excessive speeding starts at 85 and above. So if you keep below 85, you're not technically speeding. But yeah, we can actually. I've got some more insurance now or news that we can talk about maybe next time. That'd be interesting, specifically.
Yeah, and then maybe next time I can dive into some of my insurance situation. Exactly. We could just do a half hour of insurance.
Just Tesla insurance. I don't think California, you don't have the data, right? The beta where they are calculating your data in real time,
no.
Right? You don't have that?
Okay. No.
Yeah, I don't think they're allowed to.
No, you scared the crap out of me when you sent that message about them changing, increasing your premium. Yeah. I was like, wait, I think I read somewhere they don't do that. And then I went in my app and my fingers are going crazy because I'm trying to find that. And luckily I found that. Yeah. I was like, okay.
TBD. If you guys know some good insurance for Cybertrucks, let me know.
Yeah, I know. Seriously.
I might be shocked.
I've been fortunate with USAA. They've been
that's a good one.
The best every single time I've ever looked. So if you've got a connection through there, it's a great way to go.
I might too. Yeah.
Yeah. I know William. So let's get into the what were they thinking, because I think this is pretty, pretty cool, but also crazy. This girl right here.
That's not proper attire for shooting. I'll just go ahead and say it, ma'am.
It's just all it takes is one hot bullet casing.
Yeah, exactly. Just do the brass dance. All right. So
what's interesting about look, I shot these the videos car. Too is a lot of people are shooting it with like an AR pistol or like a 9mm AR like platform. And
yeah.
It's kind of clickbaity in a way, because the first one I saw, it looked like an AK, and people were like, oh, they're shooting with like higher calibers. And we're like, no, it's just not here.
Yeah.
I wonder if they mention anywhere in here what it, well, it says right here, if you shoot here, 15, 223. Yeah.
However,
you're shooting 9mm, not 5.56.
Yeah. Shoot a brand new truck.
Yes,
well, I mean,
hey, look, somebody mentioned me.
Second point. Going through like butter.
He went right through.
Shooting you.
Yeah.
But that's my point right there. It was like, why are you shooting a brand new truck? Who gives a crap?
Yeah, I know. I've had so many people. That's like probably number four thing people ask me. Are you going to shoot it? I'm like, no. Like, no. I have no desire to shoot it.
Yeah, I just tell them up front. I'm like, it's not a metric I use to buy cars, so no, I don't give a crap if it can stop a bullet. It'd be nice if it could, but it's not like my main driving factor.
No, I have no interest in doing that. I mean, if you want to do it, fine. I mean, have at it, but it...
Shoot all your cars. If you're going to shoot, like, your Cybertruck, why wait? Just get all the cars lined up. I mean, if that's important to you.
Well, I did see that someone did shoot it, but the panels in the back side of the truck near the bed, they were actually able to get a penetration back there. But I think you mentioned it before that it makes sense that the doors are not penetrating, but other places could. It just varies about the thickness.
This is where we need to wait for Sandy to come back and be like, yeah, so this is why the steel thickness and the barriers, this, but the other side.
It's,
you know,
about a half a pinky little
pinky
too far.
Exactly. Should have been two pinkies if it really wanted to save you.
Love it.
Let's go on to possibly our last subject is the Neuralink.
Oh, yeah.
I did bring up...
This just happened today, too. It was really cool to see from Neuralink post this video with their first patient, I believe.
Yeah, so he's right here.
Is it the first patient, or I thought that they actually did a bunch of human tests, and
I'm
this is
sure.
just one of the ones that they're like, yeah, we want to show it, you know?
Yeah,
I can't remember.
His story, little backstory, he's 29. He got into an accident when he was like about 8 years ago, so 21, 22. It's like a diving accident, and then became fully paralyzed, and now is able to move the mouse around and play chess on his laptop just by using his brain. It's wild to see like him moving the mouse around just by thinking. And they kind of explain in this video that initially they were working, trying to like imagine his hand moving left and right and kind of like pushing the mouse, but that didn't, I guess it didn't translate as well as they wanted it to, and then they just switched over to this way of doing it, and it seems to work really well of him just thinking about the mouse moving and clicking on things, and it's doing it. It's just crazy.
That is wild.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
It's giving people hope, right?
I drive a Rivian now. I'm also super big Tesla fan. And there's still going to be people that you always have to deal with kind of the loudest reactions to what's going on. And obviously it's Elon, but it's like at the end of the day, you've got companies that now are being enabled to pursue things that I think that wasn't really mainstream. It wasn't really a big thing. I mean, you know, the fact if somebody had written something or somebody was like, you know, put a gun to my head, like say something nice about Elon right now, I'd be like, we did not take electric vehicles seriously in this country, in America, until Tesla forced it. Tesla forced the competition. And every time that I see something crazy, I'm like, that sounds like something we should have been doing all along. Why haven't we done it? Like Starlink? I'm like, you know, this much satellite coverage. Part of me is like, I think that, you know, as a wannabe aviation enthusiast, you think about the fact that like there's so much of the world that's uncovered by any kind of meaningful communications or data tracking. You know, so I mean that's why planes can disappear in the Pacific or somewhere. You know, and you have a rough idea where they were, but not necessarily more of a precise one. Unless they're in communications range, they can't express what the problem was. So you have to hope a black box comes out or something. This enables so much communication and so many dead zones of the world. It's like, why hasn't something like Starlink been pushed for so much sooner? And now you have Neuralink, and you're like, you literally have the possibility of understanding the way that the human brain works and incorporating and bettering people's lives in a way that 10 years ago you would have thought was from a sci-fi movie, but they're doing it. And I'm like, this is why I like Tesla, and this is why I like some of these companies that have kind of spawned away from them, because they're leading the way by doing all the sci-fi stuff that I have wanted to see for years. They're doing it. And this Neuralink thing is just crazy.
The innovation, right? So we have two gentlemen leaving some comments. So Jake agrees that was a 9mm from that woman, and that her shooting attire is wild. So that's some... Thank
you,
Jake.
Are those the words he used, or are there other choice words?
No. He said, also, that is wild attire for shooting.
Yeah.
And then Jay Song says that Tesla delayed his Cybertruck again. Bad customer service. And that's something we were talking about earlier, right? The customer service from Tesla is...
It's their weakest link. It's been kind of this... I appreciate how headstrong they came into the game. They're selling cars. They've ramped up. They've beaten a lot of expectations. There were a lot of people who thought 2018 was going to lead to bankruptcy, and now they're dominating the EV space. So the idea that they are only of this mindset of, you know, we only sell cars, we don't service them, we don't keep them on the road, we don't keep our customers happy to be like, yo, this is the way it should be done. When you see it all break down to... Sorry, it just takes 4 months to get a new door or whatever. People are like, I thought we were in the future. I thought this was a new car company. I thought it was amazing. What's going on? And I think that people are calling them out on it a lot. I was a gentleman, actually, when I was charging before heading back, who he had his Model Y, and he was like, yeah, I'm not too thrilled. He's like, you know, I've had it a year, and I found out the hard way it doesn't have a spare tire or a full-size spare or something. And I was like, to me, I'm like, that's something that I did my research on, but I'm like, it's something that as they incorporate more and more people, they're going to have to address the idea of sales reaching out to people, not just, you know, oh, just give people referrals and live on the hype of the Tesla. At some point, they're going to have to do some outreach, but they just don't seem like that's in their posture right now. And I think that I do wonder how many things are being obstructed by managerial guidance, where there's somebody who's got to be saying, guys, we got to fix these cars. We got to do this better. And I don't think that we've seen it enough yet, but I'm curious when we will.
And, you know, it's everywhere for them. I mean, I know we talked about, or we stated that we were going to probably get into insurance stuff next episode, but since we're talking about customer service, I mean, that was, you know, one of my biggest issues was when I called Tesla Insurance to discuss this whole situation that I'm going through with my truck and the accident that it was in. I mean, I can say with confidence that their customer service is horrible. And it was a horrible experience, and it really made me rethink whether or not I want them to be my carrier, because they're supposed to be in my corner, and it didn't feel like that. And so that's, you know, that's very disappointing.
I could give you a very frustrating story from COVID about my solar panels and power walls. But just to cut straight to the chase, I think that there's something kind of endemic across a lot of Tesla's businesses, especially in their service departments, where it just kind of seems like there's nobody really leading the charge, nobody really directing it or guiding it or pushing it to strengthen. It just seems like the loosest strings of a mop just kind of catching things along the way. It seems like, oh, this guy made a lot of noise on Twitter, we're going to talk to him. Or, yeah, you spent your 4 weeks waiting for a new high voltage battery, we didn't communicate anything about it, but hey, your car is fixed. Which, by the way, was my experience with my Model X when the high voltage battery died. It sat in a service center for over a month, and I got no communications until one day, hey, it's fixed now. So I just think that at some point they're going to have to realize that being the leader in this kind of space means there's going to be some handholding, and there aren't enough people trying to hold hands. It just seems like empty email boxes that you correspond with most of the time.
And Jay Song is also commenting. He's you know, he was the one with the bad customer service comment. But he says this is his sixth Tesla, and the last two have been bad delivery experiences. He also commented on me mentioning the Tesla insurance, saying that it's a 1 hour hold minimum. And I experienced that. It was about a 40, 45 minute hold that I was on until I finally talked to somebody. And then when I finally got to somebody, they pretty much told me to go fly a kite. So yeah.
Do we need to get to Mars that bad? Like, I feel like that's where all the manpower is going right now. Just like 10% goes to like answering the phone. Maybe.
That and building the Roadster to fly.
Yeah, that too. Which is, you know, a good segue.
It is, yeah, a good segue, because that is something that we did want to talk about that I kind of forgot until we got into this. And yeah, that's, you know, Elon, his interview with Don Lemon talking about the Roadster and how insinuating that it's going to be a flyable vehicle.
Yeah. Something with SpaceX involved, which I think he even mentioned it on one of his previous, like, Joe Rogan podcasts, of talking about using rocket engines with the cars as well.
Like, I think that he had mentioned it. I think that he had mentioned the I think it was like SpaceX designed cold gas thrusters so that it could help with the initial acceleration, and then the EV motors would take over. And then somewhere along the way, they decided that that kind of acceleration would still like tear the wheels apart, because the static friction of the wheels in place versus the sudden acceleration of the vehicle would literally tear the tread out from the bottom before it could spin. So the trick. So now the solution is to spray cold gas thruster down, lift up the car for a brief moment, and then go.
And it would catch traction midair.
Yeah.
On the way to that.
Or just when there's less when there's less of the weight of the vehicle on the road. So therefore the coefficient of friction times the mass moving is way less. So therefore it can start the moment of rotation easier. But
that's crazy.
It's like, oh my God, that's such a weird problem to try to solve. Like, is this really, you know, guys, if this car is not below 0 to 60 below 1 second, we might as well just like sell the company. We can't even make cars anymore. You know, I'm like,
well, you know, Elon loves the big splash. He loves to be flashy, and he totally likes that big moment. We do have another comment from SJ. I think this is a really good one. He's asking, do you think the Cybertruck will have better build quality by the end of the year? That's when my tri-motor is supposed to be delivered. So let's talk about build quality on the Cybertruck.
I'm biased because I do have a close friend that's also at least at one part of the production pipeline. For talking with them, it sounded like they kind of anticipated that the first ones were kind of be, you know, it would take a process to get really kind of solid, which makes sense for any kind of production pipeline. Like, you're the first go is not always going to be your best, but once you get kind of into that groove, then it should be good. And I've got my VIN is in the 1500s, so I feel like ours is pretty solid for the dual motors. So I don't know. I don't think we even need to wait till the middle of the year. I think that we're getting pretty close to, you know, 98-99% build quality, you know.
I don't think that there's a lot left to change as far as finesse is for the build quality, but I mean, I'll defer to Sandy Munro when he does the whole teardown, because I'm sure that I feel like there are things that we discover along the way. So the other half of that, my Tesla Cybertruck service issue was also, I was driving it and I had the driver's side window door button, if you will, popped off like a key on a keyboard. Just popped right off. And when I tried to reseat it, for some reason, it wouldn't latch into place. And I'm like, is this like a Logitech keyboard problem from like the early 2000s? What's going on? So when I took it to the service center, they're like, okay, we'll fix it. And they fixed it. You know, everything that Tesla sets out to fix, I haven't had a problem with them not fixing it so far. But it's just kind of one of those things. It was like, really, that nothing, that key just, you know, the window just like popped off the thing. I'm like, okay, what other gotchas are going on around here? You know, I'm just wondering. I'm like, you know, because a lot of plenty of the rest of it, the minimalist interior, you know, it's not a good the statistics aren't great if you've only got like eight actual buttons in the interior and one of them broke off in the first 2 months.
Yeah.
You know, if there's only that many actual buttons, the rest are capacitive or stalks or whatever. But when you have a few buttons and one of them just pops off like that, it was kind of one of those things. I was like, ah, early VIN. This is what we get, you know. But I do think that if that's the biggest problem that we're facing, that my window. Yeah.
Or it could be, design could be a part of it, you know. Like, it's probably not battle tested like a lot of these other vehicle designs are. Like, I know for a fact that, like, say for an F-150, some of their buttons have been on the same truck for years, so they've had enough to be like, oh, this design is bad, so let's redesign and just fix it as we go. So we have that multiple year iteration where this is the first go of this type for a lot of the components inside of there, so we'll see how they hold up, you know.
Yeah, I think the build quality itself is not bad. I mean, I think it's the best build quality I've seen on any Tesla that I've experienced so far, you know. So I don't think the build quality is bad. I mean, but there's always going to be something, right? Like, my dome lights don't work. They're working on that at service right now. My driver's side visor mirror light doesn't turn on. The passenger does, but not the driver. I mean, yeah, the dome light, I don't even know. I didn't even know until probably 2 weeks ago how you would turn that thing on and off. I guess it's just you swipe your finger. I was pressing it and swiping and
you boop it.
And nothing was working. And then finally I went online and I seen somebody just like, doot, doot, doot. I go, what the man?
Okay.
Well, here's a question is what VINs do you guys have?
I've got 794.
Okay.
I got 558.
Interesting, because I haven't experienced any of this yet. So if take that for what it is, between
500
and 1500.
Yeah.
So here's this is again kind of the conundrum that is Tesla. Here we have three owners, and I would think that all of us in the last few moments we gave an 80 to 90% or better rating to the build quality. I have no qualms. I feel like I could take my truck and go drive off road. In the next, I wouldn't be worried about, you know, things flopping off it. It's not Casey Jones putting it back together. I feel good about the build quality. You guys seem to as well. So how is it that the story is out? Like, everybody's like, oh man, is the build quality going to improve on the Cybertruck? It's like, isn't that kind of a weird take that everybody's impression is that there's a build quality issue that needs to be addressed? And shouldn't Tesla be the ones to say something about it at this point? Because Elon said something. Apparently the Marquise's review required only 5 minutes of service and they could have fixed it. My window probably only took 3 minutes of service. And yet there's this notion that there's build quality issues. And Tesla is the only, and you know, like we proud podcasting owners of Cybertrucks are the ones who are answering these questions. Why isn't it Tesla yet? It's so odd.
Because we do it.
Yeah.
I mean, but that's why. We're not answering. I figure like, here's ideas. Maybe
I know,
it's this.
But that's,
who knows?
You know? That's like you said earlier in the podcast that they don't have a PR department, right? Because rely on, they have incentivized people on YouTube for years and years and years of referrals, and they, I know they got rid of a lot of that stuff, but you know, people have free roadsters on their accounts and they're wondering when they're going to get them. My personal opinion, they're never going to get them, but you know, things like that, you know, so they're incentivizing people, influencers, to do their dirty work, you know, and to defend them and to make excuses or whatever the case is, you know, and to debunk things. And I mean, look at me. I had no aspirations or dreams to ever have a YouTube channel. And the second I took delivery of my Cybertruck, I went, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start a YouTube channel and I'm going to show people that this is a real truck.
Yeah.
Nobody asked me to do that. That was just me. I'm all of a sudden at Elon's defense, and you know.
Well,
so.
and I figure that you guys experience the same thing where it's like that first question, somebody is like, so the first interaction with a lot of people is like, man, this is the first time I'm seeing one of these in person. And I'm like, that's cool. I'll answer what I can, the best that I can, like we can here. But at a certain point, it's like you kind of need somebody to just be like, here's the way it is. Like, I forget. There was something about, I think maybe the rear turning angles was turned out to be an actuator upgrade or something. You know, there, I think that other people from within Tesla have like kind of commented in passing certain things that should be like in a press release. You know, when they talk about the things the truck can do or whatever, it seems like somebody just mentions like, oh yeah, by the way, it's rated up to 3 feet of water. You're like, wait, what? Where's the... what? Yeah. You know, and that information seems like it doesn't trickle out the way. It's like, yes, Tesla has operated off of folks like us and other people online to help sell their cars. But if they still want to keep building this momentum to people outside, a lot of people don't watch YouTube. Hopefully more do, but a lot of people don't. So
sometimes it doesn't work at scale.
They're not getting those answers. So then you have people who are like, oh, I hear there are build quality issues.
Well, I'm sure you guys have already experienced it, right? Where people ask you, what is this?
Yes. What is this? What this is the main question. Yeah. And I tell them it's a Tesla Cybertruck. And they're like, this is a Tesla? It doesn't say T or Tesla anywhere on it. I'm like, yes, there's literally only one spot where it says Tesla on it. And I think that it's inside, you know.
I had somebody ask me, what is it? I go, Tesla Cybertruck. They go, oh, where do you put the gas? I swear.
In the bed.
And then her husband looked at her and he goes, it's electric. And then she goes, oh, okay. So my point of that is even saying Tesla still didn't, you know. It didn't hit her, you know, that Tesla is electric. Like, she didn't make that correlation.
I think that a lot of people still equate Tesla to luxury first, and then, oh, it runs on electricity, you know?
Yeah.
There's also a lot of players out there that are trying to short Tesla that want to see it
fall.
So I think that's a big push of the negative side that we see. Any kind of minor faults pop up, it gets, you know, exacerbated, but we don't hear about all the cool things. Like the Wade mode, like you're talking about, is one of the coolest things I like to like tell people. Like, oh yeah, you can like I show them the dynamic, you know, suspension, and I raise it all the way up. I'm like, okay, and then when it's already raised up, you can then pressurize the battery and then drive it up, and then I show them where the water line is, and they're like, what? And it like just blows your mind.
It's definitely a mysterious vehicle that we all three of us know that people have a lot of questions. They want to ask things, and that's the reason why we're doing this, right? And that's the reason why we're doing it live, is for people to ask questions, and hopefully we're able to provide that information, and even possibly William running to his car, take pictures and video. And
yep. I'll send it to you later.
Exactly.
Yeah. So. But go ahead.
One more thing. Speaking of Tesla, not haters, but I guess skeptics. Did you see the full self driving skepticism that came from Jerry Rigg this week?
Yes.
I didn't see that. No.
So he put out a video after V12 came out with full self driving, and had a lot of comments about, you know, well, if you say it's full self driving, why do I have to keep my hands on the wheel? Like all these other comments, and right after, almost immediately right after, he had
like a day later
a video sponsored by Ford, mind you, about Ford's Blue Cruise.
Yeah,
very very timely.
Yeah, well that
people caught on to it.
Yeah,
that thing gets Jerry Rigg, but that's poor timing of that.
Well, it's funny because when you I didn't hear about any of this, and so but when you started bringing it up, first thing I started thinking about was I've seen this before, right? Where there's these pro Tesla YouTubers. I'm not saying Jerry Rigg was that, because he had a whole other, you know, his channel was about lot of the other stuff, but he went down that Tesla avenue, and so when you say that he was making those comments, first thing I thought of is, oh, I wonder who's in his pockets, you know, and then
all the money,
you know, so
all
yeah,
the money.
I think that I poked the beehive on Twitter, because it was definitely a lot of people were jumping all over Zach. I believe his name is Zach, or yeah, he's probably Jerry or Zach. Cause what he was really pointing to, and it seemed like it was honestly, I think that he just reached trolling at some point, because he's like, okay, so when you buy a Tesla, he's like, here's a screenshot of Tesla's website right now. When you buy full self-driving, it doesn't say beta. It doesn't say keep your hands on the steering wheel, any of that stuff. And he's like, between that and the other fact is Tesla and their filings with California as per their automated driving level, Tesla themselves designated as a level 2 driving assistance device. And that's all that he was pointing out. These are two facts. These are like a screenshot and a law or a filing that's incontrovertible. But people were immediately like, no, it's definitely better than level 2. And he's like, okay, but like, it you know, everyone's like, everybody knows it's beta. Be like, it's not on the order page. It's in the manual, but it's not. And so he was just calling out some very factual things that I was like, okay, yeah. Some people were like, yeah, he's just engagement farming by pissing off everybody. I'm like, hey, if he is, whatever. He gets some more viewership out of it, cool. But nothing he was saying was incorrect.
Yeah.
But it was infuriating Twitter Tesla. Just.
Well, you know how that Tesla is. I mean, I think for the three of us, we're all, I think, on the same level as far as we like Tesla product. We enjoy Tesla. But at the same time, we're going to call it how it is.
Yeah.
And we're going to state the facts and we're going to say, this is what's wrong with our trucks or our cars or this delivery or lack of transparency. I mean, we've gone on about PowerShare hardware. I mean, so yeah, I mean, I don't fault him for that. But then when you see the next video,
I mean,
sponsored
I guess
by
at the same point that they don't have a PR department.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they would have stepped in at that point.
And I work in a creative industry where you know, there's a notion on the other side of it, like people who appreciate art or watch TV and movies and stuff. You know, they think any criticism means you hated it, and it's like, no, I literally have owned 4 Teslas. Criticism means I'm pointing out flaws that I would love to see them improve so that they can be even stronger and keep making awesome products.
Same.
So the notion that calling something out, and it does not sit well with the Tesla internet community, because for some reason it's like, no, they're 100% platinum perfect beyond question. It's like, no, here's some very clear, real issues. And we just got to keep, it's like, if you're just going to keep relying on influencers and people doing podcasts to share information, then you can't be too butthurt when they share their genuine impression, like MKBHD with the door. It's like, great, Elon tweeted about how easy it's to fix, yet the truck is here in front of me. You know, they were jumping all over Zach, and I'm like, he literally just is explaining something factual. But then the Blue Cruise sponsored by Ford thing came up, and I'm like, all right, now I have no idea. Because either it was intentional and he was trying to stir everybody up to get them to come and look at it, or it just happened, you know, coincidentally. Because, I mean, I feel like he gives everything a fairly good shake, a fair shake. So
Yeah, no, I really like his Zach. Stuff.
Yeah, his stuff was with the I really specifically like his towing video that he did with his Hummer EV that he was waiting for his Cybertruck for so long. So he was like, I'm just going to build my own Hummer EV. And then he was towing that on a trailer with the Cybertruck to see really, like, what's the limit. And this was, like, early in January when temperatures were much lower. So he was going, like, maximum towing capacity, worst possible conditions at 32 degrees. And that's great. And it's great content because that it really shows the limits. The best and the worst of the truck, really.
Yep. And
the worst
and
being
if I recall,
he couldn't charge it because of the trailer.
After he did that video, though, that was like, didn't everybody immediately jump on him because they were like, "What? It only did 100 miles? That's not possible! He must have done something wrong." And everybody else was like, "No, this is the math, and it matches up. It's actually dead on accurate." So
that's cool.
Yeah. The only thing I, you know, I don't want to say a problem that I had with that video is just the fact that he was in extreme situation, and we all know, like what we were talking about, how these extremists on both sides, you know, will run with things, with the information, right? And they'll twist it. And so I felt like being the fact that it's a new truck, there was nobody towing with the truck yet. And he gets it. He does this super extreme situation. And then now everyone gets that information and goes, see, I can't tow. And the range is this and that. And it's like, it's extreme. It's a very extreme situation that 70% or whatever of people are never, I will never tow in that situation. And I tow all the time. And I'll never be in that situation towing. So that information is fantastic, but doesn't do anything for me. And I know there's a lot of people that live in those conditions that it does do something for them. So that's great. Yeah. But you have to also understand, this is the first video, towing video, and the second I push that out, what that's going to turn into. That's snowball, excuse the pun, but that snowball effect of, you know, they're going to run with that and go, see, the thing can't do it. You know, I mean, I have, you know how many times I get comments on my tow videos of, you know, I watch tow video and it shows it only gets 90 miles of range. And I'm going, yeah, what video did you watch? You know, it's like, no, my results are showing something, you know, closer to double that. But yet you're going to run with that, especially with his audience. You know, he's got millions of people watching his videos. So it's like, I got thousands and he's got millions. So, you know, people don't really see my video. So they're not going to see what those maybe more realistic numbers are going to look like. And him, he pushed that out. I would love for him when it comes to summertime to redo that video. And, you know, I'm not sure if he will, but, you know, I would love to see that because, yeah.
I'm sure he will. This seems like one of those great opportunities to revisit something and solidify it. He only stands to gain more views if he did another matchup for it. But, you know, yeah, it's that, you know, you got to go to 8 different YouTube channels to get an answer about something as opposed to just let the manufacturer tell us. Oh, wait, they don't tell us anything. So,
yeah.
So we had the launch event in November, but it was just before then, maybe 2 quarters before then, that we had a meeting, kind of when we first heard that the price was going to be increasing. I think it was, I want to say Q2 or Q3 of last year. Someone asked about, I think it was it me, Kevin, that asked about it? It might have been me, Kevin. Asked about advertising. They're like, you know, why don't you guys advertise? It would be great if you could. And then Elon was just like, should we? And then everyone's like, yeah. And then it was like, okay, maybe we'll try some advertising. But I think that's kind of the issue. It's like, at a certain scale, word of mouth works great for like a few million cars. But now when you're talking about tens of millions of Teslas, it just, telephone game just doesn't work. So I think if we start seeing, you know, Super Bowl commercials with, you know, the Like a Rock playing in the background and you see a Cybertruck, maybe we'll finally get there of people understanding, oh, well, it could do everything else that my truck could do, yet more, and they'll eventually get it. But yeah, it's kind of a shame that you have to like dive in and sleuth around to try to figure out what's the real capability of this. But maybe that's by design, because the people that are willing to like go in and really do the research are more likely going to be the buyers. And those are, you know, good people to have that are going to, you know, really get invested into it.
Yeah, and I think he wants his soldiers, right?
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Well, all right, gentlemen. I think that was a successful episode 3. We appreciate all the comments. People are talking in there. And, you know, thank hopefully you. We can progressively grow the channel or the podcast and get more viewers. But this was a good episode. Appreciate it. And same time, hopefully next week, we do episode 4. Do it live again.
We should look into like trying to advertise. Like this podcast should be the solution to the problem we're talking about. Like, you don't exactly. You don't know shit about Cybertruck because you don't drive one. We've got 3 people who do. Tune in next week or whatever.
There you go. Well, William, what you got to do is get your Instagram, right? You said you're working on it.
Yeah.
Get on there. What you just said right now, go as soon as this ends, I want you to go get on your Instagram and promote the podcast with that exact statement.
Okay. I'll do it.
All right. All right, guys.
Do I have to wait for the episode to post, or can I just...
You always take off. All right. And then you're... Bam. Yeah, if you could just wait around for like a minute.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. All right, guys.